from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. We start with coronavirus news, and there is so much of it. Here are just some headlines from across the state. In San Francisco, the city's first two cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed. The infected are a man in his 90s and a woman in her late 40s. Here in Los Angeles County, there are now 11 confirmed coronavirus cases. That's up from 6 announced on Wednesday. Public health officials in LA are also now offering daily radio updates on the virus. In San Diego County, an AT&T employee has been diagnosed with COVID-19. That's forced the closure of 6 of the company's stores across the county. Also in San Diego, the Catholic Archdiocese has asked its parishes to curtail aspects of Mass, like the sharing of the communion cup and hugging during the sign of peace. And some counties, like San Mateo and Santa Clara, are considering restricting large gatherings to control the spread of the coronavirus. And there's even virus news on the high seas. Off the California coast, a Grand Princess cruise ship continues to be in quarantine. People aboard are waiting for test results to come back from swabs taken from them yesterday. KQED's Raquel Maria Dillon has that story.
Three people who were passengers on the last voyage of this ship, a round trip from San Francisco to Mexico, tested positive for COVID-19 after returning home. One man who lived in Placer County died. Dozens of people from that trip stayed on board for the current trip and went to Hawaii. Now, about 45 passengers and crew are being tested after they showed flu-like symptoms. Mary Ellen Carroll with San Francisco's Department of Emergency Management says officials will decide what to do next when test results are known.
Where the ship will dock will be dependent on if the location can enact the proper CDC, state, and local protocols and has the infrastructure to protect the entire community.
About 3,500 passengers and crew are aboard. For the California Report, I'm Raquel Maria Dillon in San Francisco.
And with misfortune comes the urge among some to profit from it. For instance, on Craigslist this week, I saw someone trying to sell face masks for $40 each. Well, California Attorney General Javier Becerra says the state will use an anti-price gouging law to protect consumers from coronavirus-related price hikes. Speaking yesterday, Becerra said it's now illegal to raise the price of essential goods and medical supplies by more than 10% above the cost before Governor Gavin Newsom issued an emergency declaration on Wednesday.
It is not open season to gouge consumers and emergency responders when an emergency is declared in the state of California.
Violators could face up to a year in jail, as well as fines up to $10,000 per violation. And the state is also telling insurance companies to waive coronavirus screening and testing charges on their customers. Let's turn now from public health to politics. In this past election, Los Angeles County had major problems with its new touchscreen voting machines from the very start. Here's a conversation I had with LA resident Chris R. as he tried to vote on the first day of 11 days of early voting. He said it took him more than an hour.
What's the situation here as you understand it? What have you been told?
What's been told is hasn't been very clear, just that the machines need to be, and I quote, turned on, and I'm not sure exactly what that entails, but it's quite frankly a little worrying.
On election day, problems only snowballed, forcing thousands of people to wait for hours to cast a ballot. Now, Alex Padilla, California's top election official, says LA voters deserve better. In a sharply worded letter to the county, Padilla is calling on it to send all registered voters vote-by-mail ballots in the November election. Meanwhile, State Senator Ben Allen has introduced legislation that would require LA County to either send every voter a mail-in ballot or open more vote centers.
If we send everybody a vote-by-mail ballot or we increase the number of vote centers, in both cases, it will lessen the types of problems that we saw on Tuesday.
LA's top election official, Dean Logan, says his office is conducting an analysis of what went wrong and welcomes all ideas, but that vote-by-mail is not a panacea. In another political story, Senator Elizabeth Warren's withdrawal from the presidential race yesterday was heartbreaking to many, but particularly women. In 2018, KQED launched a reporting project following several women who were inspired to run for office after Hillary Clinton's presidential defeat 2 years earlier. KQED politics reporter Katie Orr caught up with some of them to hear how they're feeling about Warren's announcement.
I will not be running for president in 2020.
Those words from Senator Elizabeth Warren hit Mayel Jenkins of Sacramento hard.
Just feels devastating. It feels really devastating.
Jenkins was part of a surge of Democratic women who decided to run for office for the first time following the election of President Donald Trump. The 2018 midterm elections were a counterpunch to the devastation many women felt over Hillary Clinton's loss. And 2020 was supposed to be an even bigger statement that women were going to reshape the political landscape. But now what? Jenkins isn't sure.
I continuously have felt like since 2016 that there's this collective energy of women. I think there's this collective energy of women of color. And so just being able to keep up that momentum. But it's also getting to a place where women are angry and that maybe that anger will be the thing that can propel us to whatever the next step is.
Yvette Brooks is vice mayor for the city of Capitola. She's worried that women are losing the momentum they seem to gain in 2018.
And when you carry that weight as an elected, I speak from experience, it's a heavy burden to carry in support for women. And quite frankly, you sometimes feel really alone because there's not many of us out there. And I really thought Elizabeth Warren was going to be that for us. And now there isn't anything.
Jacqueline Moreno serves on the local community services district board in Elk Grove, California. She thought Warren was a great candidate, but says her departure from the race represents something bigger.
I think only part of me is grieving Warren herself. And the other part of me is just grieving the loss of the possibility that a woman could succeed.
But others believe there are some hopeful signs. Stacey Ashland ran for Palo Alto School Board in 2018. She points to the high number of qualified women who entered the Democratic primary, including Senators Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar. And she points out there's still room for a woman on the Democratic ticket.
In my lifetime, we are going to see a woman president. And if we see a woman VP before we see a woman president, I'm okay with that.
Ashland says she knows progress is slow, but it's trending in the right direction. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
And finally, a few months back, we visited the Jet Propulsion Laboratory outside of Pasadena to see NASA's next Mars rover after it had just been assembled. The made-in-California vehicle looked great, but there was only one problem. The rover didn't have a name. Well, after a nationwide Name the Rover essay contest, a winning entry has been picked from among thousands sent in by American schoolchildren. Here's the Virginia 7th grader who won the contest making the announcement.
The human race will always persevere into the future. My name is Alexander Mather, and that's why I chose Perseverance as the name of NASA's next Mars rover.
The Perseverance rover will be launched to Mars later this year and arrive at the Red Planet in 2021. And that is the California Report for Friday, March 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer. Our producers are Mary Franklin Harvin, Kate Wolf, Alice Wolfley, and Raquel Maria Dillon. Our intern is Nina Sparling, and our editor is Angela Corral. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks for listening, and have a good weekend.
Support for the California Report comes from California Earthquake Authority, urging Californians to prepare for the next damaging earthquake. Learn more at earthquakeauthority.com. The James Irvine Foundation, honoring the recipients of the 2020 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards. Learn more at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.